great respect and gave great honor and told some stories about other Vaishnavas. But not that much, and that's true everywhere. But this is a compilation of stories, a lot of anecdotal stories. And to me, when I read these, it gives me such a broader sense and appreciation of the Gaudiya Math under Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada during his times with us and then after as well. Very extraordinary personalities, and their actions and their character and their teachings through their endeavors and through their, you know, dealings with others. It's just very enriching. And we were reading this all morning. It was so interesting. And there's still more stories, so I'm going to read them because this is appearance day. And by reading his story, we come to understand Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada more. A tree can be known by its fruits. So by hearing about all these diverse personalities, we come to appreciate the grand guru, the father of all of them. It's quite wonderful. And for those that weren't here in the morning, he was originally, he's from a high-class Brahmin family. He was originally an officer in the Indian Railway, high-level officer. And that means at that time, in the 1920s, that he was very qualified. You know, that under the British rule, there was not so much opportunity for higher education and higher position, especially in government jobs. And these went only to the most capable and qualified persons. And as an officer in the Indian Railway system, it means that he was very expert in management and also in dealings with others. He must have been a high-ranking executive because the stories we read, his ability to understand human psychology, it's quite amazing, the preaching he did, and his fearlessness and his amazing faith in his guru and his ability to uphold the teachings of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the teachings of Rupa Raghunath, and in daily preaching, and the obstacles they were running up against, the fact that the Gaudiya Vaishnavas were in many places in disrepute in the popular opinion of people. And he had many instances where he had to overcome that. And then, of course, there were just the general misconceptions that people had about spirituality in general, and he's very, very expert, very commanding presence. So the stories we're reading, he's still, you know, he's been a brahmachari these times. He left his home and his family. He had children, but he left everything. He brought with him to the mat his chair, his desk, a few things that he would use for his activities, but this way he thought he would never have to go back, and he never did. Made a complete commitment. In those days, it would be very rare for such a ability to renounce like that. And he had great faith in his godbrothers. There's a story that we told that just before we finished about after the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, some of the devotees, there was arguments, there was politics, things were going on, and there was infighting. And one personality was condemning a particular disciple of Srila Prabhupada, saying he didn't trust his actions, this and that. But Sri Atulananda, Atulachandra, who's also called Goswami Maharaj in the narrations, depending, he was very peaceful. And his only response to all that was that Bhagavan is all-knowing, and he always guides and protects his devotees. And if while being cheated by the Vaishnavas, we maintain faith in them, nevertheless, even at the cost of detriment, that faith will be the genesis of our future happiness. So he was always looking to see the Vaishnava top, the best in everyone, and depending on Bhagavan to reconcile and correct all matters within the society. So we're offering obeisance to him, to our Srila Prabhupada, to Srila Gurudev, to our Guru Parampara. But before we begin, now the next story is about acquiring land in Mayapur. So, we have Ashok, Bhavanan Prabhu, Janaki, Krishna Kanta, Rasaraj, Suchantra, Bhagavad Maharaj, and wow. Okay, good. All right, so if there's any problem with sound, let me know. So now this is a good story, acquiring land in Mayapur. From the very beginning, Srila Goswami Maharaj was entirely disinterested in procuring land and building a mod in Mayapur. He would repeatedly say, already in Sri Dham Mayapur are Srila Prabhupada's Sri Chaitanya Mod and Sri Madhav Maharaj's Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Mod. What then is the necessity for me to toil to build another place? I do, however, want my godbrothers to accrue as much land as possible, because otherwise undesirable people will create establishments for in the future and try to tarnish the sanctity of the Dham. He had a very great sense of personal detachment. Remember that earlier story how he was very expert at collecting donations and oftentimes very large donations from different people. But he would never go back to the same people twice, particularly because many of them were materialists. And in one case, after extracting a donation from a particularly unsavory individual, he kicked the dirt in front of the door of that place and said, "Oh, I never want to come here again." Srila Shridhar said he was like a farmer of radishes, that when you pluck a radish from the ground, that's it. It's done one time. But other preachers are like farmers of eggplant. They may go back to the same plant and pick the fruit again and again because it continues to produce. But in other cases, he would go to a place and be offered donations and wouldn't take them. Because he said, "I'm coming only for your spiritual welfare." And by that, they might gain faith. And then they went to Srila Prabhupada, and then they would give him the donation directly. So he had this great capacity for collecting, but from his own perspective, he was very detached. He would also say, "I will provide my godbrothers with as much money as they need to purchase and develop land. But with this, they must accept the responsibility of properly maintaining their establishments." Srila Goswami possessed incredible foresight. Today, many undesirable factions have established themselves in Sri Dham Mayapur and engage in many activities opposed to the cultivation of bhakti. Sri Srimad Bhakti Rakshak Srila Goswami Maharaj was the sister that Srila Goswami Maharaj established a mod in Sri Dham Mayapur. And so Srila Goswami Maharaj, yielding to the request of his godbrother, purchased a plot of land there. On the day the foundation was to be consecrated by performing an auspicious cornerstone laying ceremony beneath the shade of an acacia tree there, Srila Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj did not conduct the ceremony himself, but had Srila Sridhar Goswami Maharaj do it. Our Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math provided the mridangas, kartal, and asans for that ceremony. I consider myself supremely fortunate and blessed to have witnessed and heard
the heartfelt kirtans sung by those who had taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada. Their exemplary and genteel interactions and the profound Hari Katha they spoke that day. Afterward, devotees distributed nothing more than a light, hollow sugar candy called Batasa as Prasad, but no one was dissatisfied. Everyone was quite pleased. Now, we know that sugar candy, right? That little white puffy thing. It's the least expensive thing you can buy anywhere. But the simple end to the grand festival brought to mind a verse I had learned when I was a child. Ajayude Rishi Shradhe Prabhate Meganambura Dampatye Kalahe Chaiva Babharambe Lagu Kriya. The sparing of rams, the service rendered by saints, the sound of thunder in the mornings, and the squabbles between a husband and wife are loud. Oh, must be the sparring. It's spelled sparing. I mean, it should have two R's. The sparring of rams are loud in the beginning and quiet in the end, accompanied ultimately by the smallest of gestures. Although I had always felt that this verse was not applicable in modern times, I realized it was most certainly relevant to Srila Goswami Raj's feast that day. So everything was very glorious, beautiful kirtan, exceptional Hari Katha, and then in the end, a little sugar candy for everybody. So now this next one is an example of his humility. And here we got a nice little statement by Srila Bharati Maharaj, where it's really nice to contemplate this, because this is a wonderful mood that we all can try to emulate. We must, if we're going to advance as Vaishnavas. He's saying, deeply and sincerely, I consider myself supremely fortunate and blessed to have witnessed and heard the heartfelt kirtans sung by those who have taken shelter of Srila Prabhupada, their exemplary and genteel interactions, and the profound Hari Katha they spoke that day. He was there, right? So, while Srila Goswami Maharaj's mat in Sridhar Mayapur was under construction, he stayed in Guru Maharaj's Bhajan Kid Kutir in our Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya mat. That would be Srila Bhakti Daita Maharaj. He was highly punctual. He would come and go at the exact same time every day. One day, for some reason, he arrived at our mat 5 minutes earlier than normal. Before entering Guru Maharaj's Bhajan Kutir, he asked us in all earnestness, Prabhu, today I have come 5 minutes early. May I come inside the mat, or should I atone for my unpunctuality by waiting outside? I love this. It's noted that our Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, Bhaktivedanta Madhav Goswami Maharaj, Vaman Goswami Maharaj, also our Madhav Maharaj, and so many, very punctual. Of course, he also, being a officer in the Indian Railway, punctuality is very important to him. But punctuality is very important in spiritual life as well. Srila Prabhupada, when we were doing deity worship, he didn't stress too many things, like all the elaborate aspects of archon. These were introduced very slowly. But the thing that he established from the very beginning was cleanliness and punctuality. And I mean to the second. To the second. And sometimes we see that devotees don't really have that inclination. But punctuality and service are interrelated. You know, like if you're serving the deity. They're waiting for their meal. Should it come at any time or should it be punctual? Well, if you are cooking for your family, or if you were cooking in a restaurant or anything else, punctuality would be expected. They have schedules to keep. They have things to do. It's a sign of respect, right? When we're giving class, we have many people waiting for it. They have service to do as well. Punctuality is very important because it's a sign of respect to the others that are waiting for you. Both in the beginning and the end, Krishna's Leela has 8 periods in the day. And he needs to follow these schedules so that he can fulfill the needs and desires of all his devotees at all the different times. And so he was very sincere about that. And this is a very amazing statement. You wouldn't think ordinarily that, I mean, he came early, so what? But he was so concerned that he made that statement. I've come 5 minutes early. Not even 5 minutes late. May I come inside the mud? He's requesting, or should I atone for my unpunctuality by waiting outside? Remember what Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Prabhupada said about him. He said, this is one of the people that Mahaprabhu has personally sent to help in my mission. And I was thinking about that today, that we read about Mahaprabhu's associates, we read about their interactions, we read about their qualities. We hear some stories here and there. And then we hear that during their time on this planet, many people disregarded them, thought them as ordinary people, could not recognize their qualities. And yet, now we have the good fortune to have known and been in the association of others just like them. And yet we see that with all these stories, that they also go undetected by the people of this world. And even the greatness of their Vaishnavata goes undetected. Certainly when we look back on our own practice and bhakti and our dealings, we look back and think, oh, if only I had known this, I could have acted like this, I should have acted like this, I wish I had appreciated my Guru Maharaj at that time in this way, I wish I had understood that. These opportunities to associate and be with these kinds of people are very rare. And we pray not only for the opportunity, but the opportunity to see them in their fullness and serve them appropriately with love and affection. So now here's another lesson about accepting service, only as much as one can properly manage. When Srila Goswami Maharaj would host festivals in his mat, he would invite only one or two devotees from each mat. He would explain, quote, by his own conduct, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has taught that, as etiquette dictates, we must invite only as many Vaishnavas as we are capable of serving at one time without losing a respectful attitude. If we invite too many devotees, we run the risk of making offenses due to our inability to attentively serve every one of them in a befitting manner. That's an interesting perspective. So concerned with the service to each one and that they all get the appropriate amount of service, other Vaishnavas have another opinion, which is also not wrong, that we should invite as many Vaishnavas as we and serve all with all and full energy, and Krishna will help us take up the slack. You know, like Radhe Kunj, there's no limit to how many people they invite. The more that come, the happier they are. And somehow they manage. There's always enough prasad. Sometimes people have to wait a little longer because so many people are there ahead, but they're constantly building larger and larger facilities, more and more kitchen facility. So there's many ways to serve the Vaishnavas. Regarding his deep respect for the Dham, when Srila Goswami Maharaj would walk from Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math to his Math, his servant Gauridas Prabhu, and I would support him from either side. One day, as we were leaving Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math, we saw Nilu, Sri Yogapit's generator room guard, driving a new bicycle rickshaw, a vehicle that had only recently been introduced in Sri Dharmapur. Seeing this, Sri Gauridas Prabhu asked Srila Goswami Maharaj, "Maharaj, would you like to go by rickshaw?" Sri Goswami Maharaj replied gravely, "Me? On a rickshaw in the holy dham? Never. This will never happen. I know well that you people will all ride in cars in the future, but you will not get a license to do so from me." It is a fact that in his entire life, he never sat in a rickshaw or car in the dham. When traveling to the dham, in a car or rickshaw, he would stop at the limits of the dham and start walking. Sri Gauridas Prabhu said, "Maharaj, we are afraid you might fall and injure yourself if you walk all the time." And Srila Goswami Maharaj joked, "Ah, that is your problem, not mine." Later, when he reached his mat, he now recalled to another of his dear servants, Sri Van Bihari Baba, "Oh, Van Baba, this Gaur has just about killed me today. He made me walk all the way here. I am so worn out." His relationships with his disciples were always sweet and humorous. Yes, that is rather remarkable, isn't it? We have grown very soft in the modern era, and we take rickshaws, cars from one place to another for different reasons, but also we just don't have that strength. So when they talk about the limits of the dham, the limits of the dham are quite extensive. So at what point did he begin walking? Who could say? Goodness, I have no idea. I'm sure he would take a train to Navadvip station, and then he could walk to his mat, but I don't know. Now, there's a story, everything is justified in service. Once, Srila Goswami Maharaj and his servant, Sri Gauridas Prabhu, came to our Mayapur branch of Sri Chaitanya Gaudiya Math to visit the Goshala, which I managed in those days. Srila Maharaj saw two healthy, happy calves there and asked me, "How old are these calves?" "Maharaji, they are about 1 year old." "Why?" Without hesitating, he offered this advice. "If you turn them into oxen, you will be able to get a great amount of work out of them." When Sri Gauridas Prabhu heard this, he said, "Maharaj, would you have dared to even suggest such a thing, let alone do it, had you been living with your family?" "No," Srila Goswami replied. "I would have been declared an outcast and removed from our society. But I am no longer a Brahmana. I am a transcendental Mlecha, a divine outcast of sorts. If an activity befitting a Mlecha is performed with the intention of serving Sri Guru, Vaishnavas, and Bhagavan, it is considered spiritual, not mundane. Everything is justified in service." So I imagine that at some point, at least among some classes, it was not an acceptable practice to castrate the bulls. I don't know if that was done in ancient times or not. I mean, we hear in the Krishna book and stories about how the bulls were fighting in the fields. So I can't say. But at least it appears that amongst the Brahmanas, they would not do this. Perhaps ordinary farmers, lower class people, would do that. So his servant, perhaps being from that kind of higher class himself, was a little astonished that he said that. And he said, "Well, no, if I were in ordinary society and in my previous position as a Brahmin, I would not have suggested it. But these cows, these bulls, these young bulls, they are now under the protection of those who are engaged in Krishna service. And so whatever is done that's favorable for the service of Krishna, there is no harm in that, in spiritual, not mundane. Everything is justified in service. And Ashrila Prabhupada would also say the same thing. And even he knew things that were going on by some of his devotees that were not according to the law, the rules of law or society, but he would sometimes overlook them because of the broader needs for service, for building temples, for selling books, things like that. He wanted us to develop very high character, but he wanted us also to realize that principle. And he would say, regarding that, he says, if you can try to catch the big fish, but you have to be careful not to get wet. So he was saying that only very expert people who are really advanced devotees should try too much to flaunt the regular laws of society. Although there were times it was completely justified, like in Sankirtan, that was okay. We would get arrested or chased or threatened or this or that, but that was okay. But other things that were a little bit more sketchy, he really did not approve of. But the point is that if one is that a transcendental person, he can do anything. There's that story in South India, who was it, that had these dacoits and thieves. He employed them in going all over the South and stealing, and even stealing from Buddhist temples and places like that, even stealing a golden Buddha and melting it down in order to collect funds for building a very large temple. And the thieves were promised that they would get a big reward. So he had one disciple who had some mystic power. And after the thieves had collected all this money and the temple's being built, then they expected their reward. And the disciple said, yes, we have to go on a boat. And it's out on the island out there across the bay. So they all went rowing out there. And when they were in the middle of the bay in the deep water, the disciple punched a big hole in the boat. And the boat began to sink. And none of these thieves could swim. And the disciple had mystic power. And he just walked on the water back to the land. And they drowned. But they all were granted entrance into Vaikuntha. On the order of the guru, they were actually killed. But he gave them a gift far greater than gold for their efforts. He gave them entrance into Vaikuntha. So, great personalities can do things. They have the vision to do anything in the service of Krishna. But we have to be a little bit more careful. We have to be more careful. So one time, Srila Goswami Raj asked me, what is your name? Narottam Das Brahmacharya, replied. When he heard this, he was reminded of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. He said, your name is Narottam? Then you are my master, my Prabhu. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 4, 85, Srila Kaviraj Goswami has mentioned, Jaha Jaha Netapare, Jaha Krishna Spure. When, which when applied to this situation means, wherever a perfected personality casts his eyes, Krishna manifests to him. The word Krishna in this verse refers to Sri Krishna accompanied by his associates. Therefore, when Srila Goswami Maharaj heard that my name is Narottam, he immediately became immersed in remembering Sri Krishna's intimate associate, Srila Narottam Das Thakur. This is the speciality of Vaishnavas. Ordinary persons can never imagine, even in dreams, the transcendental consciousness in which Vaishnavas remain situated. That is such an important point to bring out, that wherever they look, they're seeing Krishna, they're reminded of Krishna. We can't imagine their consciousness. And I told this story the other day, had a similar experience one time on Parikram, and I was walking at that time with Gopa Vrindapal, my godbrother, and just then Gurudev and Madhavraj came walking next to us, and Gurudev stopped and said, "Oh, Janardhan, I always take shelter of Janardhan." And they had a big smile, and then he went on walking. And of course, who did he mean? He meant his own Gurudev. His own Gurudev was given the name Janardhan by his father in his youth. Or he could have met Sri Krishna himself. This is also a name for Krishna, a Braj name as well. Even though Arjuna calls Krishna Janardhan, the killer of the atheist, the killer of the demons, it also means one who gives pain to his devotees. In this case, the gopis, by separation. So Gurudev also, he just saw me and immediately thought of his own guru. And of course, thinking of his guru, also thinking of Krishna. But I couldn't understand that, the depth of that. I still can't. But we can get a hint that this is the speciality of Vaishnavas. Ordinary persons can never imagine, even in dreams, the transcendental consciousness in which Vaishnavas remain situated. When Sri Rasaranga Goswami Maharaj sat to honor Prasad, he would do so only after first mixing together all the preparations on his plate. Everything from bitter melon, Kerala, to sweet rice. The first time I saw him doing this, I was still new to the mat, and I therefore lacked understanding of Vaishnava Siddhanta. I told him, "Maharaj, you would not be able to relish the original individual taste of these preparations if you mix them all together." Srila Goswami Maharaj replied, "Why should I indulge the desires of this wicked and insignificant tongue of mine, which measures a mere 2.5 inches? Do you not recite this verse before accepting prasad? Mahaprasade Govinde, Nama Brahmani Vaishnave, Salpapunyavatam Rajan Vishvakto Navajayate." Those who have very few pious activities to their credit could never develop faith in Mahaprasad, in Sri Govinda, in the holy name of the Lord, or in the Vaishnava. And what has Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur written about Mahaprasad? Shadiga avidjudal jagandriya taika vive pele vishaya sagare taramage vijivayati lobamorsidumati takajita kutina sangsare. O brothers, this material body is a web of ignorance, and its inner senses are the cause of its ruination. But they know the soul, for they throw the soul into the ocean of material enjoyment. Among the senses, the tongue is the greediest and wickedest. It is therefore very difficult to conquer it in this world. Krishna bodha daya moi kari bodha jiva joy. Saprasad and Edilobai, say an Amrita Pau, Radha Krishna Gunaga, Premidako, Chaitanyanitai. Krishna is so merciful that he has given his own food remnants to help us conquer the tongue. O brothers, honor these nectarian foods. Sing the glories of Radha and Krishna, and with praying call out Chaitanyanitai. In other words, he explained, Sri Krishna Prasad is like nectar. To discriminate between preparations is improper. We should not think, I want less Kerala and more sweet rice, or I do not want this item, please serve me more of that one. He then quoted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said, from Anjali Lila, chapter 4, Dvaiti Bhadra Bhadra Jnana Sabhamarataram Evalave Mandai Sabhabram. In this world of duality, conceptions of auspiciousness and inauspiciousness are all functions of the mind. It is delusional to think this is good and that is bad. Srila Goswami Maharaj concluded his point by saying, it is therefore better for us to honor the items on our plate with equal reverence, considering them all to be prasad. If someone would ask him how he liked the prasad he was served, he would always answer, it was very good. They prepared it very well. But if he heard a devotee complain that a dish had not been properly prepared, he would say, go and call the cook at once. He must be punished for being inattentive to his service to Bhagavan. He should be suspended from his service for 2 or 3 days and instructed to atone for his misdeed by constantly weeping and chanting Harinam. Bring him here at once so that I may reprimand him. His words were not merely lip service. He set a precedent by actually punishing those who were inattentive in their service. Wow. That's quite extreme. We are taking some fighting off this sore throat here. Okay. That's very interesting. Someone inattentive in their service, and he was like a cook. He should not be allowed to cook for 2 or 3 days and should just chant Harinam and reflect on his inattentiveness and feel regret and remorse. That's quite amazing. Quite amazing. But he wouldn't do it on his own initiative because he himself did not have the vision of this is good and this is not good. He had such a deep perception of prasad, he was tasting it But if there were some complaint about it, you would have it corrected. That's very amazing. Srila Goswami Maharaj would often mention, I have not come to the mat to serve Bhagavan. I have come to serve Vaishnavas. In this world, we receive many opportunities to serve Bhagavan, but the opportunity to serve Vaishnavas is exceedingly rare. It is much more spiritually beneficial to serve Vaishnavas than Bhagavan, for by doing so, one learns how to properly serve Bhagavan and gradually develops a true lasting taste for such service. Engaging in the direct service of Bhagavan without first serving Vaishnavas does not ensure one's spiritual benefit. And that is certainly a lesson we have heard everywhere, especially repeatedly hearing this Chaitanya Bhagavat, Mahaprabhu's great reverence for his devotees, his concern and his absolute rejection of those who offend or neglect his devotees, and his embracing and glorifying those who have the mood of Vaishnava Siddhi. And so this Bhakti Saranga Maharaj, although his position was so exalted and high, was steeped in the humility of Vaishnava Seva. When Srila Goswami Maharaj manifested an illness past time, I bought him a portable commode made of cane, an item that was available in Navadvip and Krishnanagar in those days. When Srila Goswami Maharaj saw it, he told me, I will never use this. A Vaishnava would have to clean it every time I use it. I cannot bear to think about that. Throughout my life, I have never considered any Vaishnava to be my servant. I have always regarded everyone, newcomers and seniors alike, as worthy of my service. No matter what I said to him, I could not convince him to use it. Finally, I constructed a commode out of bricks with my own hands, which he happily accepted. Wow, so Srila Bhartimaj was also steeped in this deep affinity for Vaishnava Seva. Otherwise, how could he detect it? How could he be so amazed by it? And then how could he be so happy to emulate it? Someone once asked Srila Goswami Maharaj during one of his preaching tours, what is the need to build new temples and mats in India when there are already so many? And why install new deities when there are currently so many deities being neglected? That's a good question. Srila Goswami Maharaj replied, the root cause of India's troubles is overpopulation. This is evident by the fact that the government has created various initiatives to keep the population under control. Those who have fewer children, for example, receive ample assistance from the government. If overpopulation is a national crisis, why do childless couples make efforts to have children of their own? Would they not be as content with adopting an orphan? No, they would not. The degree of affection one may possess for another person's child can never match the affection one would have for one's own. Similarly, the attachment one may have to a temple, a mat, or deities established by others is far exceeded by the attachment one has to one's own. Huh. I guess because there's so much mamata in the effort, and the effort, of course, being connected with the order of one's own guru, the desire of one's guru, one develops a deep affinity for that place. And those deities which you've taken the responsibility, you invited them, they came, and so, yes, that affinity must be there. Once, Srila Goswami Maharaj fell ill in Sri Dalmayapur and needed to be taken to Calcutta for medical assistance. Okay, so they took him by boat. He, Bhakti Vigyan Bharat Maharaj and some servants, took him by boat to Srup Ganja and then boarded a bus to Krishnanagar, where I arranged for them to take a train to Calcutta. I also explained to his sevaks how to reach Dr. N.R. Sengupta, a reputable doctor in Calcutta. After Srila Goswami Maharaj recovered and returned to Sri Dalmayapur, he told me, I was fully conscious the whole time you took me from the Ghat to Srup Ganja and then to Krishnanagar. But I remained quiet, thinking I should let the Vaishnavas do as they felt was appropriate. I was astonished as Srila Goswami Maharaj went on to recount the day's events in such sharp detail. I was reminded of Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur's words in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. Jato deko vaishnavera vyavahara dukha nischaya he jani hose parananda sukh. Know well that whatever suffering a Vaishnava may appear to experience is actual spiritual happiness. I was amazed. Although he appeared severely unwell outwardly, he was fully aware internally. Perhaps it is with reference to such instances that the scriptures state, Vaishnava chinite nari devera shakati. Even the demigods are incapable of understanding the divine habits and activities of Vaishnava. I remember at the Parikram, I guess 2010, the last Parikram that we attended with Srila Gurudev, he had had very serious sickness pastimes during that time, before that time, and before the Parikram, and during it for a long time, he was in Delhi. So before we went to Vrindavan, when we arrived, we went to the Delhi temple where he was staying, and he had a private room that he was staying in, and he was behind curtains, and very occasionally people would be allowed to just go back and have darshan. But there was no interaction at those times. And they said that, you know, Gurudev is really ill, he wasn't interacting right, you know, his internal consciousness. And so we went there, and we went to the room, and it went off to the side, and there Gurudev was lying there, looking as if asleep or in some deep consciousness. And we'd made no noise or anything when we came in. But as soon as I sat down, he opened his eyes and turned his head and looked at me. He sort of glared at me. The way Gurudev would glare at me, it was actually rather delightful. I mean, he looked at me for a moment, and then he went back. And so when I hear this, I'm thinking that same thing. Well, it says it's green. I don't know what I can do. It says we have full sound. I don't know what's going on. There's nothing I can do from this side. Let me think. My Verizon connection. Is it on now? It's there. Okay, let's try this. We did this some time before. Rasaraj suggested that. Well, let's see now. Okay, so I have some other stories about Gurudev like that, but I'm not going to tell them. We have received the following teachings from the exemplary life of Srila Goswami Maharaj. One, devotees need not be concerned with experiencing opposition, nor should they worry about adverse circumstances. Bhagavan is like an affectionate parent for his devotees. He always protects them. The process of bhaja, that's number one. So Bhagavan is like an affectionate parent. You always protect him. And don't worry about adverse circumstance. You know, we will be protected. Enough. Number two, the process of bhajan cannot develop if corrupted by a propensity for sense gratification. A person attached to gratifying his senses never attains true welfare. It is only when we remain supremely satisfied with whatever prasad Bhagavan mercifully arranges for us that we will attain perfection in our sadhana. So, living simply, eating simply, like Srila Prabhupada used to say, simple living and high thinking. Right? And number three, fully attentive and dedicated service to Sri Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas is the true expression of deep-rooted love for them. Fully attentive and dedicated service to Sri Hari, Guru, and Vaishnavas is the true expression of deep-rooted love for them. So when we hear these things, this is the beauty of our Gaudiya Vaishnav garden. And there's so many beautiful trees. Now, each of these devotees, like Kalpa Vriksha tree, and they all have their specialities, but there's so many unifying principles and qualities and characteristics that they all manifest, and so many points that they all express in their own way. And these three, anybody could have said this. It could have been Srila Prabhupada, it could have been Gurudev. They all have said the same things in their own way. Have depend on Krishna. Bhagavan is our protector. He's like an affectionate parent. He will always protect us. Don't pursue sense gratification at the expense of bhakti. Live simply. Focus on your seva. And whatever prasad, whatever mercy Krishna extends, accept that. And we will get perfection in our sadhana. Be fully attentive and dedicated in service to Sri Hari Guru and Vaishnavas. This is the true expression of love for them. Right. How do you serve? How are we paying attention? There's a short little article composed under the editorship of Sri Bhakti Pramod Puri Goswami Maharaj about Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj on the occasion of his disappearance. It says that Sri Dandi Swami, Srimad Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj, is one of the foremost pillars of Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada's preaching mission, which aimed to spread the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the entire world. Thus he fulfilled his beloved Sri Guru Pada Padma's most cherished desire. Pujapad Goswami Maharaj was a prominent member of the Sri Vishva Vaishnava Raj Sabha, the chairman of the weekly Gaudiya Magazine's editorial board, a humble model of Guru Seva, and the greatest of speakers. Now he has attained the eternal shelter of the gentle lotus feet of his Sri Guru, who propagated throughout the world the glories of Sri Gaura's sacred abode, his name, and most cherished desire. So these three things propagating throughout the world, the glories of Sri Gaura's sacred abode, that is Sri Dham Mayapur, Sri Dham Navadvip, his name, and his most cherished desire. That means internal and external. Through his divine conduct, Pujapad Maharaj demonstrated a fearless example of service to Sri Guru until the very last moment of his physical presence. If we can attain the fortune of following him to even a fractional degree, then our lives will be blessed beyond all fortune. Pujapad Goswami Maharaj was the foremost assistant of Sri Gaura Karuna Shakti Srila Prabhupada, who was Sri Gaura's potency of compassion. In fulfilling the most cherished ambition of Sri Gaura, by the desire of Gaura Sundar, that great servant of Sri Guru, who possessed the most unpretentious, genuine, and exemplary character, appeared in the world with great nobility. Today, he has concluded his magnificent vow of service and bid farewell to the mundane realm. Kripa Kore Krishnamore Diya Chilo Sangha Svatantra Krishnare Icha Hoylo Sangha Bhanga. Mercifully, Krishna gave me his association. By Krishna's independent will, our exchange has ended. So, wonderful statements that we've heard about Srila Bhakti Saranga Goswami Maharaj. So that's great. Remember, hearing about Krishna's devotees is the same and just as important as hearing about Krishna. And it's only by hearing about the devotees that we can actually learn how to serve Radha and Krishna. They are our guides, our guardians, are those who are showing the way. And they are the ambassadors who have come to teach us the realm and the mode of service and by that learn to become qualified for entrance into that divine realm. So today's the appearance day of one of these primary sevaks who was the recipient of so much mercy of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada and of the respect and honor of all of his godbrother, and certainly of us, those who follow in their footsteps. We pray for his mercy, for his protection, guidance, all of these things. So it's very, very nice. And we thank Srila Bhakti Vigyan Bharati Maharaj for this amazing compilation, which has given us so many wonderful insights from his perspective, remembering also that he's writing about these pure devotees from the perspective of a Mahabhagavat. So it's like reading Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's really, really wonderful. So, who do we have today? We have, oh, big crowd tonight. We had Ara Ara, Ashok Krishna Das, Bhavanam Prabhu, Dear Krishna Das, Kopanandini. Oh, and Brush, usually we don't get you guys. We can have an even class in New Brush. But I got to hear the concluding glories here. Dr. Sranga Goswami Raj, Johnny Kididi, Mr. Kantan Rasaraj, Suchitra Didi, our Bhagavad Maharaj, and Vrindavan, Vanamali, Samapuri, and Vrindavan Chandra. Yeah, so, sorry, my reading isn't very full of energy in the evening. For some reason, I just don't have any energy at night. I try my best, you know. I'm more of a morning person. But, you know, these things must be heard. So, forgive me my shortcomings. And I just hope that the power of what we're reading gets transmitted and not so much diluted by my distracting reading, distracting and boggy presentation. I'm doing my best. Okay, so thank you all very much. And tomorrow's Friday. Is anything coming up Friday? I don't think that there's any specialty. Monday here is going to be a Kadashi. Let's see. Nope, not for a few days. Not until Monday we have a Kadashi. Oh, and then Tuesday, Sri Ishwar Puripad's disappearance. Wow. And then Shivaratri on Thursday. Okay. All right. We've got some things coming up. Good. Good. Okay. Thank you all. Good to see you. I've seen your names and remembering you. Praying for a little opportunity for Seva that I can develop this mood that Dr. Saranga Goswami was talking about. He didn't come here to serve Bhagavan. He came here to serve the Vaishnavas. So we have a nice little community here. May we all be fortunate and blessed with that mood. Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Gurudev ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaur Premanande. Hare.